You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode of the Miles to Go podcast. My buddy Summer from TPG Family was lucky enough to be there on day one of Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on the fictional planet Batuu in a galaxy far, far away. Now, I am not a huge Star Wars fan, but my wife and son are huge ones, and so is Summer. And so she took a couple minutes to tell us about what day one was like in Batuu, in that land far, far away. Because of the time constraints and the distance from here to Batuu, the audio quality is not as great as our normal episodes are, but we did everything we could to make it sound as good as we could. We'll be sure to touch base with Summer when she is back on planet Earth. For now, I hope you enjoy this bonus episode of a first look into Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I was certainly surprised by some of the things that Summer shared with us. Hope you enjoy it.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we are traveling to a land far, far away that has gotten much closer in recent days. I have my buddy Summer from the Points Guy TPG Family, who is a self-avowed Star Wars nerd? Geek? What would you say, Summer?
I guess I'm just a fan. I mean, I'm happy with the words geek or nerd. I grew up with the films in the 80s, and so I don't know everything about everything in every expanded universe and comic book and whatever. But I grew up with the movies, and I like the new movies, and so Star Wars has kind of been my blood.
It's in your blood, and you are in Batuu for the opening of Disneyland, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. You got to be there on opening day, which means there are literally tens of thousands of people that are incredibly jealous. So I guess first impressions, what was it like after all the anticipation of Galaxy's Edge? What was it like showing up there on day one?
It was a little bit surreal. I mean, it was a very early start, so maybe that's why it felt surreal. I was still asleep. But once we got in, it was exciting. People were cheering, which is, you know, kind of like inaugural flights get people excited in weird ways. So do new lands. But this wasn't just a new land. It's something people had an emotional connection with. And so that made it special on another level. It was a little bit disorienting going in, because usually at Disney, you've got a plan, like you've been there before, or a billion other people have been there before, and you know what to do first, and you know what to expect. But that wasn't the case here. It was like truly uncharted territory. So it was a little weird figuring out strategy, but also overwhelming to be in a land that really felt like another planet. You don't even feel like you're at Disneyland anymore. They've done so well with the sight lines and the decor and the characters and the storyline that you feel like you're on another planet.
And that's what I saw in some of the initial reports. They did it so well that you really did feel like you were fully immersed in the land. And so you had the first time slot of the morning. How long were you allowed in?
Yeah. So what they're doing until June 23rd or through June 23rd, I believe, is you get a 4-hour time slot. And if you don't already have one, the only way to get one is to stay at one of the 3 Disneyland hotels, which are all expensive. But the free time slots are gone. So now Mickey wants you to pay up. So how it's working until June 23rd, though, is you get 4-hour time slot if you stay at a Disney hotel. If you only stay one night, you get one slot. If you want to go again, just change to another Disneyland hotel the next day. But the time slots start at 8 a.m. and they go 4 hours. But what happens is you're going to start overlapping with the next group on the 3rd hour. You're assigned a time slot, but you can change it. So if you don't like what you're given, just ask at the hotel when you get there, and they have dedicated Star Wars teams. I highly recommend 8 a.m. because you only overlap for 1 hour with the 11 a.m. start time. If you go in the middle of the day, you're going to overlap both the first hour and the last hour, which means there's twice as many people in land. <It's> not bad.
Did you do your whole 4 hours?
I did. I probably stayed almost 5 hours, in part to see what happens if you overstay your welcome. Like, does a stormtrooper kick you out? No. What essentially happens is they just stop letting you do things. So they have a colored wristband system going.
Yep.
So they can quickly spot if you're no longer supposed to be there. And they don't actively kick you out, from what I experienced and what I've heard. But they just won't even let you buy food. Like, you can't get in line for things. You can't buy food. I don't know if they let you buy souvenirs or not, but you can't do any of the core elements of the land once your time is up.
So, you know, that was going to be one of my questions. In your time that you were there, did you find that the crowds died down a bit, or did everybody stay the whole 4 hours at this point?
So it definitely did not die down. However, where the crowds were changed. By 2 hours in, the line to ride the one ride that's working, Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride, that wait had gone from 80 minutes down to walk on. So it made a huge difference. People were still there in the land. They just were doing different things. They'd moved on. The only line that never really got any better was the one to build a lightsaber. That's a line that was 2 to 3 hours, and a lot of people could never even get in line because they cap how long the line can get. Same is true with the cantina, which was my favorite part of the land. It really felt like we were in the cantina, music and all. That line never got longer than 30 to 40 minutes, but you couldn't always enter the line. It's another line they kept relatively short. So that was really kind of unfortunate, because what happened then instead is people just sort of stood close to the line and created a little bit of gridlock. So I hope they get that worked out.
I was really surprised to hear that the ride line was that short, even at the peak.
I know. I fully expected to be waiting in line for 2 or 3 hours to ride that ride. I mean, I've waited 3 hours for Pandora. So
yeah,
it was shocking. I think that they just have really kept capacity under control for the most part in this land. I mean, the lightsaber line is long, but only 14 people can build a lightsaber at a time. So
right,
the capacity on that's really low. The ride, I think, just it was as short as it was because the land was not overrun with people. And there was no fast pass line competing with the regular line. There's just one line, with the exception of single rider, which was never crowded when I tried to use it. So yeah, I was a little surprised too. And I was definitely shocked when it got to the point where you could just walk on the ride. But that was great.
Yeah. All right. So what was your impression of the ride?
So as rides go, it was a lot of fun. No question. Being a Star Wars nerd or fan and being able to ride in the Millennium Falcon is a lot of fun. Now, compared to some of the newer cutting edge rides like Pandora Flight of Passage and some of the Harry Potter rides at Universal, I don't think it's as good as those. It's not like you walk off and your jaw has dropped, but it is fun. The one thing I'll say about the ride that's a negative is your experience is really different based on your role in the Millennium Falcon. There's three different roles, six total people, and you don't get to pick what role you get. The pilot role is amazing. You're actually flying in the ship. The other roles aren't as amazing. The engineer in particular really is not good at all. You're just pressing some buttons, which isn't super fun, but it's distracting. So you're not really watching the graphics on the screen because you're waiting for your buttons to light up. So you press them. So that's really not good. If I had waited a long time in line for that, I might have been disappointed. But because my wait was so short and I was able to just walk on again and become the pilot, that was cool.
So I wonder if it's like some of the other rides at Disney World or Disneyland, where if you're willing to wait a little bit longer, you can wait for the prime seat.
So far, it's not. I mean, I don't know if that's something that will change. I would definitely wait longer for the pilot role if that was an option. But at least on day one, that was not an option. You just are handed what you're handed. I mean, now you could trade amongst your group if somebody wanted to trade, but there was no separate line to wait in for a certain role.
So, you know, we've got just about a month before the land opens up to more public flow, if you will. We expect that on June 24th. Based on what you saw so far, what's your best guess On June 25th or someday soon thereafter, do you think that the wait times go way up for the ride when the crowds have unfettered access?
So they're still going to limit how many people can be in the land, even after this reservation period is over. But the way they do it will change. It'll shift to, you don't need advanced reservations, but once you're in the park, you can get assigned a time that you're able to enter. So they're still going to be controlling how many people are in the land. Now, the question is, like, what's that number become? Is it a number really different than now or not?
Yeah.
But I think that they have, I trust that they have this down pat. They really seem to not want the land to be clogged up with, you know, never ending lines. And I don't see them just throwing that to the wind come June 24th. But that's being said, it wouldn't surprise me if the waits went up some. Because the way they're doing it now with the blocks of time is probably a little unique. So that's a long way of saying I do think lines will get longer, but I don't think they're going to let this become like the 3 and 4 hour waits, at least not in the near future.
So as a self-avowed Disney nerd, that surprises me. I was not expecting that sort of a wait time, something that short. What about you? Is it surprising to you?
I was shocked. I honestly thought I'd be spending 75% of my 4 hours in line for one ride because I've done that at Disney.
Yeah.
But they just seem to want a different approach here. And, you know, even when this first period is over, they're still throttling the capacity in the land, which I think is a good thing. I think people might be disappointed in the land if they were waiting 3 or 4 hours for the one ride. Because that's really not what the land is about right now. It's really about immersing yourself on a different planet, as nerdy as that sounds. And the ride is cool, but the ride isn't the starring attraction of Galaxy's Edge. Galaxy's Edge itself is the starring attraction. Now, maybe when Rise of the Resistance opens later this year, it will become the starring attraction. But for now, just being on the planet of Batuu is, I think, the highlight.
And as much as I remember, and I could certainly be wrong about this, I don't recall that they have a separate plan announced for metering capacity in Disney World when Galaxy's Edge opens there. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know that you're wrong. I can say I haven't paid as much attention to that one yet just because it's been further out.
Sure. Yeah.
I haven't heard them say anything like these reservations that you had to have at Disneyland. I don't get the impression they're doing that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if they have something in place there. I just don't think it'll be quite as stringent as here based on what we know so far.
For sure. And I also wonder if they'll have more total acreage just because there's more space in Florida than there is in California. And so maybe there'll be a little bit more space to have people walking around the paths and stuff like that.
Yeah. From what I've heard, the two planets are really quite similar. Batuu is just kind of replicated. but again, I don't know for sure since that one's further out. It hasn't been as high on my list, but I bet they're going to learn a lot from this one. So hopefully if something doesn't work well here, they won't repeat it. And conversely, if it does work well, hopefully they do it again.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Just a couple more questions before you run out of time on Batuu. What was the merchandise like for folks that want to take stuff home? How good and how expensive was what you saw?
It's as awesome and as expensive as you want it to be. Anyone who built a $200 lightsaber loved it. I mean, and those things, when they lit up at night, looked 15 times cooler than they did during the day. That's a big time commitment. It's a big financial commitment, but it looks really cool. People built droids and those looked really cool. And the shop where you build them looks like something out of Star Wars. There's even this cool gift card that you can buy where you're now just scanning it to use your credits, AKA dollars. That's completely like ridiculous, but also cool looking. And then they have a marketplace where you've got some more affordable stuff. That's where you'll have like your pins and your stuffed animals and all of your different creatures and t-shirts. But they're not like t-shirts that say Star Wars. They are, as Disney said they would be, things that you would find on Batuu, kind of in the style of the planet. So the merchandise is really cool. I somehow walked out of there only buying a pin. But I was the minority. People were coming out of there with their arms full of items that they had waited years to buy, and they all were doing it with a smile on their face.
Yeah, my son's pretty high on building a droid. That is number one on our list for when he does get to go.
It looks really, really fun. Nobody seemed disappointed in the ability to personalize and create their own droids and lightsabers. I think it's a highlight. Again, it's a really unique land because the ride is not the star. Like, being on another planet is the star. The closest thing you can get to it other than this is definitely Harry Potter. Kind of has that same feel. But the rides there are also standouts. So it's slightly different.
Yeah. And I think they didn't do a great job with some of the ways that they set up some of the activities, like the wands and stuff like that, that sort of blocks the flow of people walking around Hogsmeade and Wizarding World. So, all right, well, last question, and you can pick either one or both. Your like quick last final opinion or the best part of Batuu for you.
I'll do both. The best part of Batuu, other than just like living your movies, like living your childhood movies, is amazing. But more specifically, the cantina is a must visit. Even if you've got to wait 30 or 40 minutes to get in, wait. It's really cool. Even if you don't drink, there are non-alcoholic drinks in there that are also really fun. The atmosphere is great. Definitely go to Oga's Cantina. And then overall impressions, it's really good. There's nothing to strongly dislike about the land. I think that only having one ride is a downside. I think that there's some quirks they've got to work out still with how they're going to manage some of these lines without turning people away from a line. And mobile ordering was taking 2 hours. So there's like growing pains. But I would say if you're a huge Star Wars fan and you want to go and you can afford a Disneyland hotel stay, go by June 23rd when we know the capacity is under control, because we don't know for sure what happens after that. If you are interested in it, but you're not a super fan, then wait until the second ride is open so you can have a more kind of complete, diverse experience.
Awesome. Well, I hope you have a very safe trip back all the way from Batuu. I don't know how long it's going to take you, but but until the...
Ed, it is a galaxy far, far away. It's going to take a long time.
Well, while you're on your way back, tell folks where they can track you down.
Totally. You can find me on Twitter at @MommyPoints and also on Instagram with the same name. And I've got a lot of cool Star Wars stuff on there, and I can hook you up with a link to our YouTube video we did of the opening as well.
Well, thanks so much, Summer. Folks, thanks for tuning in to our bonus episode on the coverage of Disneyland Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, brought to you by my buddy Summer, all the way from the planet Batuu. Safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.